Blog Talk Radio.
Malcolm Garvey Huey. Their life was like a movie study. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm
Garvey Huey. Their
life was like a movie
study.
I die, I organize. Everything I do's revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these, really think you should. I study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Marcel Cody with the Uzi. Listening to Fela Kuti. I'm a goon with the machete. Especially if it's jelly. Got the Santos for the Hexy to protect me, so respect me. This is heavy, legendary, revolutionary. My wifey, she resurrect me when they thought they had me buried. Took me out the cemetery. Now it's family over every, cause that's all that's necessary to avoid the commissary. I'ma live for you five, so I stop getting high. If you know, then you recognize it's that black and brown pride. It's the power of the mind. RBG, God divine. You can see through the lies if you can read between the lines. I live, I die, I organize. Everything I do, revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these, really think you should. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Malcolm Garvey Huey. Bungie Bobby packing Tukey. Sitting by the door so you can say I'm acting spooky. Just like in the movie, son, you better pack your toolie. Niggas switch, be acting fruity, you'll be cracking like they pookie. Rather smoke a doobie than be burning and eluding. Bang, bang, pig shooting, we should blame Rudy Julie. Yanny for the camera, shine a white and nose candy. Let you banging on the system, you a gangster wearing panties. RBG, my family, from the Bronx to Miami. Police cannot stand me, Pacquiao like a Manny. Call me little Bobby Hutton, cause I'm first to push.
Black power, black power, and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms, your comrade in battle with Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hails and the smells of North America. As always, you know I count this a privilege, I count this an honor, I count this a joy to be able to talk to you from this platform that we know of as Black Power Radio. Happy to be able to come before you on behalf of the black God of our forefathers and foremothers. Come to you on behalf of our ancestors, those who took lives, gave lives, those who held no bars, those who put in work, those who put it down and helped us to get where we are today. Giving thanks to all the freedom fighters, all those that came before us, of course, and all those that are on the scene today, we got to give some thanks. We give thanks to every single Panther regiment. There ain't no beef in here. We're about that unity. No beef in here. Every Panther regiment that popped up and that organized and that said power to the people. And that is black power for black people. We riding with you and we give thanks for you tonight on this Black Power Radio. And, of course, we cannot go any further without giving a mighty thanks for the God of our forefathers and foremothers, for sending us a beautiful warrior, a bold warrior who was unrelentless on this enemy, who taught us that he said that his purpose on this planet was to give our enemy, to give this devil, to give this Satan, to give this beast hell from the cradle to the grave. And as he taught it, he said he ain't talking about no dude underneath the ground with no panty holes and a pitchfork. No dude that's going to stick you and jug you on the eternal barbecue pit. He said he was talking about this cold, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, buttermilk-complected cracker on top of the ground. We're talking about the Black Power General. We're talking about the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. And we come to you representing his number one student, the man who has carried the mission on and carried the flag, that red, that black, and that green on, and kept the tradition of freedom fighting alive in the hells and smells of North America, and kept the activism alive in the hells and smells of North America, black activism and black revolutionary position and posture alive in the hells and smells of North America. I'm talking about the warrior, lawyer, the attorney at war, our national chairman, a man who you'll hear from right in about 5 minutes. I know you're anxious. This is part two. 5 minutes we will hear from our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and this is Black Power Radio. If this is your first time listening, we thank you for tuning in with us, and for you longtime veterans, we are happy and appreciative that you are here with us tonight. We have made it to Wednesday night, which is normally reserved sometimes for our Queen's Night, our Sister's Night, with our host, our national assistant, Sister Amira Sankofa, and her co-host. And we give all respect and thanks for their labor and their effort, and we ask that you join them this Friday. They'll be on this Friday at 8 o'clock bringing you that truth. There's only the mighty black woman can bring it to you in the spirit of Queen Asada Shakur and Queen Harriet Tubman and all of our freedom fighters. We got to be balanced. We got to be balanced and know that whatever a black man is fighting, wherever you see that black man fighting, you know that black woman is not behind him but right beside him. So shouts out to you queens holding it down in the new Black Panther Party. And we're thankful for everybody who's riding with us and rolling with us and all of our supporters. Thank you to the Day of Action Movement. Thank you to those who are in the Day of Action Movement, and you are participating for the elevation of the black nation and the black community. We thank you for the Black Power Movement. We thank you for our supporters, but most importantly, we have to thank all of the chapters, every chapter of the new Black Panther Party that is active and that is up and that is concerned and that is organizing and ain't sitting, that's not sitting around waiting on something to happen, but you're out here making something happen. You're out here pushing for it to happen. You're agitating for change, and you're agitating to make a new world for your people, your baby, and your future. We say Panther salute to you, soldiers. Panther salute to the new Black Panther Party, who, whether the white man gives you credit or doesn't give you credit, doesn't matter. We already know the credit is with our God and with our people. And so the people are saying salute to the new Black Panther Party for being on the front lines and for holding the line for all of these years. And now you see the fruits of our labor beginning to come forth. You see now more clearly than ever what it is that we've been telling you all these years. You see now that this is not a movement based upon some flimsy hatred or some ideological point. This is a movement based on the love of our people. And we love our people so much at the point that we're willing to risk it all on behalf of the liberation of our people, knowing that our people have been tricked and been misused and been abused and been turned into things other than themselves. We are willing to risk it all for you, black man and black woman, and we love you so much that we're willing to stand for you. And so now we have to stand with each other. We have to stand with each other. You should know by now that the Democratic Party is not representative of you, does not have your interest at heart. None of them political processes in the white man's system, the white power structure, have your interest at heart, nor does the Republican Party, not even the Libertarian Party, and not any of them. You got to be about some black party. And what was given to us by our forefathers and foremothers out of Africa first, and then hitting off into Lowndes County, Alabama, and getting off into Oakland and New York and all throughout this country, was that Black Panther. And they said that that Black Panther represented us. And so black man and black woman, if you want to be in line with the times and you want to be in line with what's hip and you want to be down with what is really down in the hills and smells of North America, you got to get in line and get down with this Panther, black man and black woman. Although old no good J. Edgar Hoover thought he would destroy the Panther, and he thought that he would take the Panther out of the hills and smells of North America, it is clear, regardless to whatever detractor may say, whatever, whoever stands against it, whoever, whatever forces are arrayed against it, it is clear that the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense exists, and that we are here, and that we are here and we are strong, and that we are strong and we're getting bolder and bolder by the day. And so it doesn't make a difference what enemies are arrayed, We are more concerned with the liberation of our people than ever. We are more concerned with controlling the politics and the economics and the conditions of our community. We are more concerned with true freedom for our people than concessions. And we are asking our people to support us as the people supported Kwame Nkrumah, and the people supported even Che Guevara, and the people supported all of the revolutionaries that you can think of. The people have to support this movement. It is the people's revolution. And so as it is taught to us that we are to be the oxen of the people, that we are to be ridden by the people and to carry our people on and to serve the basic needs of our people, now you see us now beginning to grow into fullness and come into a position where we can now serve our people at a quicker capacity. And so we're asking that we get your support, that whatever city that you're in, that you support us immediately. And this is not a begging call. This is a call for expanding the army. We want to expand the army across the hills and smells of North America so that we can stop the things like what happened to Brother Oscar Grant, and what happened to Brother Troy Davis, and what happened to Brother Sean Bell, and what happened to Brother Abner Weimer, and what happened to so many of our other people. We want to be able to put a stop to the detriment and the evils and the ills that we face on a daily and consistent basis. Who will stand up to this buck wild, brutal police department across the hills and smells of North America? Who will stand up to the ever-growing white supremacists that are rising in the hills and smells of North America? Who will stand up for you on your job when you are misused and fired for no excuse at all? Who will stand up for you for decent housing? Who will stand up for you for proper health care? Who will keep your sons and daughters out of the military when they're being sent and used as frontline soldiers to fight for corporate wars that you don't reap the benefits off of? Ain't no politician out here standing up for you like that, black man and black woman. Not too many of your own leaders are standing up for you like that, black man and black woman. The only black man that's standing up like that, that's on the ground, boots to the ground, shaking hands where you can see him live in the flesh and visible, as Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. The rest of them you see hiding in the building, in the office, and in the wherever they are, but they're not on the ground. We're talking about on the ground revolutionary leadership and activism. You can't help the people if you won't touch and be a part of the people. You won't shake some hands and hug some people and know what's going on with your people, knock on some doors and organize some black people. How can you represent black people? And so we need a new leadership. And there's a new leadership that has formed and has been forming and was put into motion by the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. And so now the Black Power General has left one in place now, prepared one through a whipping and through a shaping that has put us in a position where we can grow as a party. And so we are happy, and we are happy and thankful. I know you can hear the happiness. We are happy and thankful for our national chairman. And you, wherever you are, black man and black woman, you should support this black man, because this is a black man that, unlike many of these U.S. presidents, don't have to come before you and say, I'm not a crook. He's not a man that has to come before you and put some kind of statement out and say he's not robbing and lying and stealing. This is a man that you can look at his works and you can see what he's doing for black people. This is a man that come up out of his pocket and finance a whole movement for the liberation and salvation of black people. And the new Black Panther Party, we share the same spirit. So don't get it twisted. Don't think it's a one-man show. When you see him, you see us. And we got his back 100%, really 200, 300, 400%. And we're going to do even more. And so for you brothers and sisters, at the end of this broadcast, after you hear from our national chairman, if you like what you heard, be sure to get with us at our website, dayofactionmovement.org. And you email us right away. You can get us at nbpphq@yahoo.com or nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. And join on to this movement and support our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so, brothers and sisters, without any further delay, help me to bring to Black Power Radio once again our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power.
All right, Black Power, to you, my dear brother, and I could just sit here for even longer and to hear you teach and preach here on Black Power Radio. And so it is my honor to come behind you, and I would like everybody in the radio listening audience to give him a strong black hand, that fiery and factual national spokesman of the new Black Panther Party. And I'm very proud to say my national spokesman in the new Black Panther Party. I'm talking about Minister Sean Quali. My honor to be on with you, black man, and giving honor to God and giving honor to the ancestors and giving honor to Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and giving honor to the elders. It is my honor to be on with you tonight.
Glad to have you on, sir. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. So, you know, I guess I'll take some more questions in the Black House briefing room, you know.
Yes, sir.
I think it's best to have a dialogue at this point with the black nation and a dialogue with yourself, a seasoned revolutionary reporter, and to have a dialogue with those who are calling in who want answers to the critical questions that are floating in the air and in the atmosphere right now. And those that want to know, in the year 2011, as we move towards the close of this year, they want to know, what is the status of the liberation struggle of black people? They want to know what the status of black nationalism is, the status of what they call the black supremacy or the African supremacy movement. They want to know the status of the Pan-African movement or the black movement in general. Where are we as a people headed? Inquiring minds want to know. They want answers to the political questions that are floating in the air and the atmosphere as we move into 2012. And do the 2012 elections, do they really even matter? And those who are here, they want to know, well, what is the future of the new Black Panther Party? Where is the new Black Panther Party headed? Are they headed up or are they headed down? What is the future of the Nation of Islam? Are they headed up or are they headed down? What is the future of the other movements of African liberation, be they Malcolm X grassroots or be it the Uhuru movement and many others in COBRA, all of them? Has the time of the RBG, the red, black, and green, the black nationalists, has it arrived or has our time passed? We want to know these things. Is America destined for success or is she on her way to a prophesied failure? Is there any leadership in America that is worth a damn anywhere in the bounds of America? I want to talk about these issues and to give clarity and to hope to give some answers tonight and to lay out a platform and a program for the liberation and the salvation of God's chosen people, the beloved black man and woman here in the wilderness of America, my brother, and throughout the diaspora. That's what I would hope to do tonight.
Yes, sir. We want to get right into it. The lines are full. People are steady piling in. For those that are listening, if you're not on the line, I don't want you to get disconnected. Make sure you're listening by phone as well, 646-478-4447. I'll start the questions off and get right to the questions on the phone line. Brother Chairman, please give us your insight on the state of the black movement, the black liberation struggle, and to ask your question, I ask you, is there any leadership out there that's worth a damn?
Yes, sir, my brother. There's plenty of leadership in what we would call the black nationalist or the Pan-African movement or the black power movement in America and around the world that is worth more than a damn, that there are some of the most precious and valuable leaders that we have left. We believe that black nationalism is the best and the only solution for black people. We still believe and maintain that our belief is the supreme belief, that a nation of our own, a land of our own, a territory of our own, a policy and a drive towards the ownership and control of everything in the black nation. We believe that black nationalism is the best solution. We believe that black nationalism trumps integration, that it is better for our people than integration, and we believe that the scripture itself, that the very word of God says that a nation of our own, and that separation is the divine order of the day. The word from the Almighty God, whether that's the Bible or the Quran or the laws of Maat themselves. In the New Black Panther Party, we say in our 10-point platform that we want freedom. We want the power to practice self-determination and to determine the destiny of our community and the black nation. We say we believe in the spiritual high moral code of our ancestors, and we believe in the truths of the Bible, the Quran, and other sacred texts and writings. We believe in Maat and the principles of Nguzo Saba, and we believe that black people will not be free until we are able to determine our divine destiny. We believe that that belief system is supreme in a decadent ideology of integration into white America, and year after year running behind an election or some crumbs that fall from the rich man's table, as the Bible teaches of Lazarus, and how the civil rights leadership and policy in the hells of America is akin to a modern-day Lazarus begging the white man for some crumbs from his filthy political system. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party, none of us are really invited to any of those parties. We are used as tokens. And so we believe that a nation, a land of our own, control of our economy, control of the politics, control of the culture, control of the education, control over our blocks, our streets, is the best and the only solution. But how many still believe in that in the year 2011? Is Malik Zulu Shabazz a dinosaur in the year 2011? That's the question we have to ask. Is this ideology that I'm preaching, is it acceptable to the black man and woman who are listening? Does it hit you like Malcolm X, or am I a dinosaur, goddamn Tyrannosaurus Rex? Which one is it? Because everybody, we don't have Ishaka Musa Bar Shango, our great and legendary teacher and theologian anymore. May God rest his soul, his works, his black liberation theology, his divine contribution, his books, his writings. Yes, they are with us, but we don't have the God in the flesh anymore. We don't have in the flesh the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We don't have him in that flesh. We have him in other parts of the flesh, similar to the way the body of Osiris or Osar, the pieces were put back together after he was dismembered and cut apart by his brothers. We have some of the flesh because the New Black Panther Party, body and soul, is still right here in the hells of America carrying the banner of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, lifting up his holy name all the way through his divine birthday and holy day, January 12th, which we're calling for no work, no school, no nothing, but a tribute to one of the boldest, fearless, most dedicated, wisest, courageous, knowledgeable, and sincere black man ever to lay his feet on the 196,940,000 square miles of the planet Earth. We don't have Dr. Khalid. We don't have Ishaka Musa Bar Shango. Dr. Ben is up in age. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us decade after decade after decade of great and solid service. But yet he's up in his 70s, going into his 80s. And certainly this is a reminder to all of the new generation to respect our elders, all of them, and honor the contributions of our elders. Because as I go on to answer this question, the ranks are getting thin, my brother. They are not many like we used to have. When I was coming up as a law student on the campus of Howard University and a Howard University undergrad, I was thinking to myself today, where are the young revolutionaries? As on the campus of Howard University when Brother Raz Baraka and I were there, and I could remember there were just dozens of us, legions of us. You had to get in line if you wanted to be a member in good standing in the revolutionary circles of the liberation of our people in those great years of 1989 and 90 and 91, through my law school years, 93 and 94. So, my dear brother, there are some good leaders left. I love the Pan-African Congress of Azania in Azania, or what's called South Africa, because they take the hard and the true line, and the only line that can be taken in South Africa is that the land belongs to the black man and the black woman, and one settler, one bullet. They give him 24 hours to get out of town by sundown. To drive the cracker from South Africa, and that it must be owned and controlled by the black man and the invader. He must be severely restricted or ran out altogether. And so the Pan-African Congress, Brother Chris Sankara, other young leaders in the PAC, who by God's grace I will be going to see at some point next year, as I'm able to go also to see the new Black Panther Party members and others in Zimbabwe, and Brother Kwanisi Maafa and others, to see firsthand what is going on in Zimbabwe. There are young leaders on the African continent in Zimbabwe, in Azania, in other parts of Africa that are giving us hope, and that are hope that when by God's grace and the ancestors' grace that a new generation will rise up. There's our brother Kimi Siba, or Kimor Arim Shabazz, who is there in Senegal and fighting on the ground in Senegal and gaining a great learning experience, seeing the suffering of our people in Africa. And so he is a bright light, not only to Senegal, but to all blacks, black people in the French-speaking world. He's a young man, just over 30 years old. He's a bright spot on the scene. Our international ambassador, Huey Rose, who is in China right now, the international ambassador of the new Black Panther Party, Brother Huey Rose, is on our behalf in China right now, handling business. I just got through seeing it on the news, and it reminds us again that the white man is scared as hell of China. He is frightened of China. And that'll come up here later, but just to show you what a punk he is, he'll jump on Libya, but he watches his mouth and watches his walk when it comes to China. He does not make one move. China owns America. America is China's whole. But let me get back to finishing up this question. Brother, there are many young, bright leaders right here in the hills of North America in the new Black Panther Party, many sincere leaders, not leaders that are out here to pimp the people and to run civil rights or black nationalist pimp game and con game and to use our name and our good name and use community service as a way to rip the people off or to rip corporations off and all of that Jesse Jackson type stuff. You know that stuff.
Yes, sir.
There are sincere people out here, sincere brothers and sisters out here that are breaking away from that mold, breaking away from that mold. You're one of them, Minister Sean Kwali. Mr. King, Samir Shabazz is one of those. We have many. I'm talking about inside of the Panther Party. I would be happy to say that we have many young sisters and brothers that I would say, after evaluating and taking time to look at everybody, that we have some of the best that could be found in the bounds of North America. There are many, again, in the Panther Party, many sisters. Sister Amira, Sister Ayera, who's spearheading our clothing drive to Senegal and the Gambia. And just a quick note, we're about halfway through. We got about 3,000 pounds. It's still rolling. We'll get into it tonight. The ministries. I'm going to get all off into that. I'm just warming up here, sisters and brothers, and hoping you will bring others around to listening. because we want to know tonight what is the future of the black man and the black woman, what is the future of our movement. We need some clarity on what it all means. The numbers are dwindling. We don't have as many greats as we had. Many have passed on. Baba Herman Ferguson is up in age. Brother Gil Noble, may we keep him in our prayers, is still in critical condition. You know, many others, Baba Ilambe Braff, so many other elders, y'all could call them off right now in the radio listening audience. They have served us well. And we as a duty, as a new generation, have a duty to carry out this struggle and to carry it out on a higher and a better level. And this is the radio broadcast where if you say you believe in the doctrine of Queen Mother Moore, the doctrine of Harriet Tubman, the doctrine of Nat Turner, the doctrine of Marcus Garvey, the doctrine of Malcolm X, the doctrine of Elijah Muhammad, the doctrine of Huey P. Newton in its original form, the doctrine of Kwame Ture, the doctrine, the best of the doctrines of Minister Louis Farrakhan, the doctrine, the best of the doctrine of Father Allah, Clarence 13X, the best of the supreme wisdom, the best of the knowledge of ancient Kemet, the best of the knowledge of Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, then this is where you should be coming around right now and saying this is where the action is. And so there are others who are under O'Malley Yeshiteli and others. Many others in the Panther Party around the nation are doing very good. Very good. Minister McHale is one of the state of Florida's strongest leaders. Our chairman in the new Black Panther Party of our region down there, but in Florida, Minister McHale Muhammad. You know, we have Sister Charette there who runs our Ministry of Agriculture in the United Front. And it's helping to spearhead a big event I'll get to in a few minutes in New York, where I am speaking in New York. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But she, Sister Charette Spicer, Lady Freedom, is one of our strong and upcoming leaders out here. And the list goes on. And O'Malley Yeshiteli's movement, he has quite a few. Brother Diop and other young sisters and brothers strategically placed here and across the world that are strong. And I respect Chairman Yeshiteli. He's one of the elders, but he's still fighting hard on the front lines. He's fighting like he's damn near 30 years old or something. And so we respect them. In the Nation of Islam, you have some young leaders in the Nation of Islam. Both of those who are the Nation of Islam, under Minister Louis Farrakhan, and other Nation of Islam. You have other young brothers and sisters who are now in their 20s, in their 30s, and some seasoned in their 40s that are good ministers and good representatives of our resurrection and our lives. I see them when I go to the major events of the Nation of Islam and have a chance to interact with them. Yes, they have a cadre of good brothers and sisters that seem to leave the Nation of Islam looking in decent shape for the future. There are others that there are some of them that are known and the more so, like Minister Nuri Muhammad, another who's traveling and speaking well all the time. And then you have others that maybe are not as known, but they have a good cadre coming up in the Nation of Islam. Malcolm X grassroots movement has some good soldiers, and those that have come under the legacy of Baba Chokwe Lumumba, who's fighting like he's 30. He may be the elder, but he's fighting. He give it all he got, sick or well. He don't give a damn. He's a career revolutionary freedom fighter, Chokwe Lumumba. And so that's kind of my analysis right now, brother. Our doctrine is the best and the only solution. We don't have the soldiers that we used to have. There's no doubt about that. And so we need to right now just get strategic. If we cut down the division that we used to have in the 90s and close ranks and make an alliance and form a united front, even with less leaders, we could get better results if we cut down the mistakes we made in the 90s and the 2000s that were based on division. Okay. And so, you know, well, I could touch on that later, but that's my initial thoughts on strategically how we can beat the fact that we're losing some of the elders and that there are less leaders, less college revolutionaries, less brothers and sisters that are straight up dedicated to this cause. I'll stop right there, though, because I've been taught a whole subject on just that, and it's already 8:30.
Yes, sir. A question on black nationalists, because you touched on it. Can you tell, because some of the young listeners, some of the young leaders you're talking about were disenchanted with the civil rights approach, the traditional civil rights approach. Can you kind of talk about how black nationalism or the black power movement changed the civil rights movement?
Yes, sir. In the 1960s, and just to reemphasize this point, point number five of the New Black Panther Party 10-point program says we want an education for our people that exposes the true nature of this devilish and decadent American society. We want an education that teaches us our true history and her story and our role in the present-day society. We believe in an educational system that will give our people a knowledge of self. If we do not have a knowledge of self and our position in society and the world, then we have little chance to properly relate to anything else. We have been robbed, brother, of a true history of what happened in the 1960s. If you go in the public school system, which is known as the educational killing fields, they have whitewashed the history of the 1960s. They have whitewashed the history of the movement of the 60s and whitewashed the history of our people through television, through magazine, and through improper propaganda, big white lies, and have made it appear that the only leader that struggled for us in the 60s was Dr. Martin Luther King. And they have watered him down, to make him look like a cream puff. And that the height of Dr. King's ideology was just to sit down and have dinner with some little white boys and little white girls and join hands. But what about the Dr. King that they don't tell you about? They whitewashed him in the school system, and through the means of education in America, they have blocked out the fact that, yes, at a certain point in time, black people got tired of singing We Shall Overcome. Black people got tired of going out marching and getting water holes and laying down for a filthy peckerwood and an old dirty beast to leash a four-legged dog released by a two-legged dog to bite into the breast of the black woman and bite into the genitals of the black man. They got tired of that. They loved Dr. King, but begging the white man for justice played out. And by the time Brother Stokely Carmichael or Brother Kwame Ture, inspired by Mukasa Ricks in 1965 in Alabama, and threw up the black fist on a freedom march for black power and raised a cry to black power in the South and began raising that in Mississippi, in Alabama, in the South, and then Watts blew up in 65. They're not teaching our babies that Watts blew up. And why did Watts blow up? In a righteous rebellion. When they do report on it, they call it a riot. It's not a riot. It's a righteous rebellion. They don't report to you that Detroit blew up, and why did it blow up in 68, and Newark blew up in 67. This is what got these niggas jobs in the television station.
Go ahead.
It's Don Lemon with his flaming faggot self on CNN.
Right.
His new book out about him and his, his black gay lover. Old Don Lemon. And he's got some lemon and lime and a few other things going on.
right.
These Negroes on TV, dear brother, because they couldn't go in the Watts when the Watts riot was happening. They couldn't go into Detroit when the Detroit riots was happening. They couldn't go into Newark when the rebellions were happening. They had to then, for the first time, hire a black reporter to go in and get that story because the white reporter would be robbed and beaten, take his camera, and bust him upside his goddamn head. That's a real revolution when your cameraman is at stake and his life is at stake. And that's what actually happened in the true history or her story that we need to know in the 60s. Our people got tired of that approach. And H-Rap Brown began to take sway over the minds of the people, knowing that today is Imam Jamil Al-Amin, who deserves our undying support. It was Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture, SNCC, and those that were with him, Mukasa Ricks, Bob Brown, David Brothers, and other legends. It was a militant approach by beloved Honorable Dr. Comrade Huey P. Newton. And even at that time when he was in his right mind, Brother Bobby Seale was one of our greats, and other greats rose. By the time 1968 came, dear brother, in the history of the black community, it was the Black Panther Party that was number one. And the Nation of Islam was riding strong. Do for self, black nationalism, black consciousness became the order of the day. Now, what happened was in the 1970s, you saw the split of the Panther Party as early as 71, and you saw a breakdown in the strength of the Black Panther Party through the persecution of the Panther Party from the counterintelligence program, from the FBI, and from the local police, and from infighting and nigger mess. And so with the Panther leaders being attacked and locked up, and COINTELPRO working effectively, many Panther historians say that by 1971 it was history. I happen to disagree with that. I give it a few more years, but many say that in 1971 it was history. And of course, you know, the BLA, they got started at that time. There was a split in the Panther Party. There was blood in the Panther Party. The Nation of Islam, so that you said, for you saw, and then you saw really a whitewashing of the ideology of the Panther Party. You saw them go from black nationalism. You saw the Panther Party go from black unity and political action. Then you saw them go into revolutionary black nationalism. I can get with that. And then you saw them go into socialism and communism and internationalism and Trotskyism and all them other goddamn isms. And to be honest, the ideology deviated from what we call and what we are here for, which is black power, black nationalism, Pan-Africanism, Kujichagulia, self-determination, scripturally defined as a divine land of our own, like it was given to the children of Israel and given to those who were in Babylon and all of those who were under oppressed nations, according to the Bible and the Holy Quran. And so the breakdown physically in the Panther Party, as great as they were, they were great under any damn ideology, still great. Whatever ideology, I still got to be clear, whatever ideology they was changing to, they were still kicking ass with any ideology. That's how much love I have from them. But I will tell you straight up, I'm not into no Trotskyism. I'm not into no dialectical materialism. I'm not into no humanitarianism, and I'm not for an integrated revolution. I am not for this integrated revolution where Bob and Sue are here and Jerry is cool and Steve is all right. Because I can't teach black here because Bob and Steve and Jerry might get mad. I have to talk to black people. That's just another subject, man, but I'm just saying that the Panther Party was great under any ideology. But to be fair and honest, the changing and the watering down of the ideology hurt the cause of black nationalism, hurt the cause of black liberation. The fighting against the US organization, the unnecessary fighting against the US organization and how it was exploited by the enemy hurt the cause of black power, hurt the cause of black nationalism. The Nation of Islam was moving strong at that time, in that era, but there were issues as well that still affect us today. And even though the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has, as the premier leader of what is called the Second Resurrection, in theological terms, in Nation of Islam terms, and even though that has a divine meaning to it, the fact of the matter is that he lost a lot of ground in having to restart the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And that's really a statement in his defense to those who criticize him for not doing as well as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in certain areas of whatever the financial or economic acquisitions or the properties or the economic program of the Nation of Islam is concerned. Well, hell, he had to start all over again. That hurt us, is what I'm telling you, brother. We can't afford. History is most qualified to reward our research. We're talking about we must know our own true history and her story, not just to know what happened in the past. It's a roadmap. As Minister Khalid Abdul-Muhammad teaches me and he teaches you, that history is a roadmap to our future. And what it happens yesterday is relevant and pertinent to what's happening today, because tomorrow is built on what happened today, and today is right. Built on what happened yesterday. We're studying right now, dear brother, what has went on in the 60s and in the 1970s, because we can't afford to repeat these mistakes again. We can't afford to have another. We don't have time to waste like that. We don't have time to see another Nation of Islam fall. That's the words I'm trying to reach here to you, man. We don't have time to see the Nation of Islam fall again and hope for a third man to come up. You may not get that chance. We don't have time to risk another fall of the Black Panther Party and hope that somebody else is going to be able and capable to raise up a Panther Party and do all this hard labor and work and take all these attacks that I've been able to take and do and you all have been able to take and do. So we have to study this history carefully and really be history beaters and not history repeaters. And so the nation fell because it was a changing in the ideology. The changing of the ideology in 1975, from the passing from amongst us of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the ideology changed, and that marked the destruction of a nation. But it was already set in motion, as the counterintelligence program documents teach us. It was set in motion before the messenger of God to the black man and black woman, Elijah Muhammad. The plan to change the ideology of the Nation of Islam was already in place while the messenger was here. And J. Edgar Hoover writes that as he plans, to paraphrase him, that he said we must have a new Nation of Islam, a Nation of Islam that teaches self-improvement void of nationalism, that teaches self-improvement and the brotherhood of man and is void of nationalism, to paraphrase J. Edgar Hoover. They wanted the FBI plan to take the bite out of the Nation of Islam, to take the doctrine and the teaching that was the holy doctrine and the holy teaching that was revealed by Master Farad Muhammad, who taught from 1930 in July 4th that the white man is not just a devil, but he's the devil, Yaqub's grafted devil, skunk of the planet Earth. The very word from God as given by Master Farad Muhammad. J. Edgar Hoover plotted to take that out of Islam in America, to dismantle the teaching. And so right now, if we don't do nothing but be the keepers of the teaching, that is as precious right now as anything in the universe, dear brother. And so they destroyed the nation of Islam, destroyed the teaching of a nation of our own, destroyed the necessity for an FOI or an MGT, destroyed respect for the messenger of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and taught a humanitarian, non-black-based Islam that ultimately didn't do too much for us. Sorry about that, but it just didn't do too much for us. Now Minister Louis Farrakhan has had to start again with the Nation of Islam, but it's always harder starting again and losing millions of dollars in property and factories and fishing and banks and all of that, the beginnings of a nation, he had to try to start again. And so we have to be very careful as I close on this question about how we move in this hour and what we do in this hour. Because good leadership, a strong organization with a solid ideology is very rare in this day and hour. Much more could be said on that, but I'll move on.
Yes, sir. And I do want to say that you're in a similar position. You had to start from the top as well. Am I correct?
Repeat that. I'm sorry, sir.
I was just saying that you find yourself as our national chairman in a similar position where you basically had to rebuild the works of the Panther Party from the top, from scratch.
That's very true. And sometimes to me it's good to know, but it's also almost frightening to know that if I hadn't made the choices that I made in 2001 in that hospital room in Marietta, Georgia, and if I hadn't made a personal commitment to myself that things could be very different today for us, because at that time, brother, I really could have went another way. And so I had good training and a good foundation before Minister Khalid Muhammad passed. I was already heavily, heavily committed to the movement anyway. But, you know, they say that when controversy or crisis happens, it doesn't make your character, it reveals your character. It lets you know what kind of person you really are when the crisis or the controversy or serious things happen. Many who are listening can probably relate. We're getting ready to go to the phone lines. And so,
yes,
you know, what happened with Minister Khalid Muhammad passed, I'm just really getting going practicing law. And I could have easily fought for the liberation of our people in my own way. And primarily from a legal base. I had started Black Lawyers for Justice in 1996, and I was quite comfortable being in your shoes, brother, as the national spokesman of the new Black Panther Party. I did not have all the weight and the pressure of being the chairman and being the one that had to be at the top. I was most comfortable being the national spokesman for Khalid Abdul Muhammad and spearheading the organizing and the representation of the movement, and had a law practice going, and I didn't have to be the number one man in the bullseye of the ADL. Even though I was in the ADL bullseye, I didn't have to be the number one man in the ADL bullseye or the number one person responsible for either success or failure of the organization. But I thank God at that time for Minister Hashim Nzinga. I thank God along the way for all of those that have helped along the way, because without you all helping, without Divine Allah, without Brother Zaid Muhammad, without now Brother Keisha, with you, Brother Sean, for many years now, Sister Amira, you know, other new ones that are coming on, Brother Malik in L.A., Brother D.K. in Texas, Sister Ayera, you know, all of those, and throughout the Panther Nation who are the leaders and the consistent drivers, Brother Huey and others that keep this Panther mission going. This is what makes us history beaters and not history repeaters. Yeah, we are history beaters. We are living out a new history right now. We just can't get cocky or comfortable that just because we have kept it going that that's good enough. We have to raise our standards and raise our expectations inside the new Black Panther Party. Raise our standards and expectations inside of every organization and inside the Black nation. We must make progress. We must show that this Black Muslim ideology, this Black nationalism, this Pan-Africanism, this community control, we must show that it works. We must show that it works, and it's against all odds, because integration is a dead failure. No disrespect, I love them, but the program and platform for the NAACP as it exists right now in 2011 is a dead platform. It's controlled by white corporations, and it is based on just being in close with the President of the United States and some white corporations. There's nothing that is solely dedicated to Black over there. There's many good brothers and sisters in there. And it's the same for much in the civil rights movement. I mean, they're damn near one of the, when Cornel West, let me put it to you like this, when Cornel West is damn near the, one of the leading Black leaders out there, you know you're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
When Cornel West is the most often quoted out here, then you know you got some trouble. We go to the phone line.
Got some drama. Yes, sir. First caller, you are area code 504-432. You're on the air. This is our national chairman. Give us your question, please. Thank you, Black Power.
Black Power. Yes, how you doing, Brother Malik?
Black Power.
I'm doing fine, sir.
I'm doing okay. Well, this is a question that I really wanted to ask you because a lot of other leaders haven't spoken out against this. They might have, but I haven't heard them. I was reading this book by Claude Anderson, Dirty Little Secrets About Black History, and he was speaking about the slave trade in Sudan, Mauritania, and Ethiopia, and I want to hear what you have to say about that. Because I believe you're a strong black leader, and I want to hear what you have to say.
About a current slave trade. Do you say current slave trade?
Well, I think it's been going on, but I just happened to read up on it.
Okay, but I'm just asking, just for clarification, are you saying current slavery is currently being practiced there, or how do I feel that it has ever been practiced there?
Well, how it has ever been practiced.
Okay, brother, I condemn slavery by all means, no matter who is doing it. Whether it's chattel slavery by a European white man, a devil, that conducts an international transatlantic demonic slave trade that murders hundreds of millions of our people and disrupts whole continents, which is the worst, most diabolical, evil, and ruthless form of slavery, or whether it's Arab slavery that runs across East Africa and the Zanzibar and is manned by sultans and others, or whether it's them conspired with African slavery by some of our beloved family members and from some of the great tribes and awesome tribes in West Africa who had at a certain point worked with the Arab and the white man to help ship our brothers and sisters out of Africa as human cargo going to the white man's invaded Western world. All of it, brother, I condemn. And I tell you today that it's probably still going on today in them countries you named, Sudan and other parts of Northern Africa. And I'm telling you, it will get worse with the fall of Libya. We cannot trust this rusty, dusty, camel breath, stinky, sand-dwelling, stinky Arab.
Teach.
Not as a whole. Now, maybe we can isolate a few. The Palestinians seem to be a principled people. but they're small in numbers. Where else can the black man or the black woman find a safe refuge in the Arab world? Can he find justice in Iraq? The black African find justice in Iraq? Can he find justice in white Syria? Can he find justice in Egypt, taken over by a pale Arab? You know he can't find justice in Libya. Can he find justice anywhere? Even amongst all of them who say, Ashhadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu rasulu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that the Ummah of Islam is universal and race has no part in our religion. The hell if it don't have a part in the religion of Islam.
Go
the
ahead.
Black man and the black woman and the African is always oppressed in all systems, religious and economic and political, no matter who running it. And so racism still exists in Islam all the way up to you getting inside of the holy city of Mecca. And challenge me on that if you say that I'm wrong. And so, brother, we only have ourselves. That is another stark, staunch, and cruel reminder that we only have ourselves. It is a call for Africans to stop fighting Africans by any means necessary. It is a cruel historical lesson that still today, as slavery in the Sudan and other oppression of Africans take place in these lands, every African should immediately declare a truce on each other everywhere on the planet and declare war on his enemy. He has no friends. You have no friend, black man and black woman, anywhere on the 57,255,000 square miles. You only have Allah and yourselves. You will never have true friendship amongst any other race until you show that you will have adequate friendship, love of yourself. Then you will demand the respect of allies. But until then, they will always be splitting the middle and playing the divisions and exploiting us when we should be ganging up on their ass and kicking their ass. Whoever's bothering us. But you over there in Nigeria, talking about you a Muslim and you're going to kill and slaughter your Christian family. Y'all going to sit over there and kill each other over some goddamn religion that ain't even native to your land. It may be related to your soul. It may meet your nature or your nectar. It may reach your soul when you get the Quran, but you had Allah before the Holy Quran. You had it before the Bible. Now you're going to go over here and burn and kill each other in Africa and fight like this over some goddamn religion? When you know that we got so many enemies, we could count them like leaves on the trees. Woe to the black man and the black woman of America, Africa, and the world. If you don't learn nothing from this radio broadcast, it is to love yourself and to stop the division and love ye one another and to forgive each other and to counsel with each other and defend each other and be hard on your enemies and love each other. And so that, my dear brother, can put an end to slavery. That's the only way. We have no friends. I'll take the next caller.
Okay, caller, we thank you for your questions. All right, caller at area code 334-450. You're on the air with our national chairman. This is Dr. Malik Zul Shabazz. Give us your question, please. Black Power.
What's up? This is Dennis Lake.
Big Dennis.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Now you know I ain't going to come in with just a question, but I want to say, like I said in the chat room, Rosewood.
Yes, sir.
Black Wall Street.
Jeez.
All of them things that you mentioned. Even the bombing up in Pennsylvania where they bombed the organization up, the black organization up there. All that stuff need to be in the history books, but it's not in the history books because they don't want it to be in the history books because certain people don't want the whole truth to be told. They only want to tell part of the truth. But my question is to you, what do we do? And I'm going to explain this now, and I want a full explanation. What do we do when there are those among us who are sellouts, Uncle Toms, perverted of the truth, and it's those who mean us no earthly good. Matter of fact, they want to infiltrate us, and I'm talking about some of the many of these preachers out here. I'm talking about all these black elected officials, these leaders who I ain't saying their name, who are not leaders. You know, I'm talking about these people who do one little act and then they ride off of it like they got a hit record and they keep going out to doing their gigs just to show their face. Okay, so what do we do to remove them from amongst us?
I'm going to tell you, just like Stokely Carmichael say, we give them a chance, then we off them.
Well, they don't have their chance.
You give them a chance, well, then you know what to do then, black man. But I don't have to tell you what to do. And I don't need to speak any further. But what I'm saying, seriously, let's analyze our brother Dennis's question for those who are in the radio listening audience. And also for enemy forces who we know are in the listening audience. This is an enemy monitored radio. Let us be clear. This is enemy monitored radio. But Brother Dennis is talking about exploitation in terms of black elected officials, black leadership. He's speaking to the fact that in the 60s, and part of the analysis, we can continue to answer an earlier question. It is an historical fact that if you look at the Gary Convention in the 1970s, and if you look at many of the efforts, it was believed that putting blacks into office or blacks into high places, black faces into high places, and they're getting a black mayor, a black congressman, a black senator, and today even a black president, that would make the critical difference. Or that it would make a critical difference, or that having political gains would make a strong difference. It was believed this in the 1970s, even from a civil rights perspective or a radical perspective. You know, at that Gary Convention and all those other strong conventions, you had strong figures there like Imamu Amiri Baraka, and at the Black Power conferences, and politics was a part of all of those revolutionary conferences. Brother, we had high hopes for Marion Barry. We had high hopes for Andrew Young. High hopes for Harold Washington. We had high hopes for those, you know, who have many elected officials in the counties and towns around that are listening. But many now inside of the black nation, and certainly Brother Dennis Carl bears witness that many in the black nation are really dissatisfied with black elected officials. They're dissatisfied with their black city council persons. They're dissatisfied with black leadership that are holding these elected offices, and the future does not look promising. And so revolution is on the horizon, is what I'm telling you, brother. Yes, you're right. A chance has been given. But it's not just a chance that has been given to your local councilman or your local congressman. Maybe so. But I need to tell you that a chance has been given for blacks to try out political representation as being the main way to get free. That chance has been given and that time is up. Therefore, revolution is on the horizon. When you even see these white kids out here in the street, Occupy Wall Street, and when you see them camped out in these parks and screaming and yelling and standing for their cause, as the Bible teaches, when Satan casts out Satan, how can his kingdom stand? When you see the police whipping their ass, then you know that's Satan on Satan. How can his kingdom stand? That's white-on-white violence. They're going against revolution is coming to America. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They can even put down the white rebellions now, but they will rise up later in another form, maybe. These conditions in America are going to change. It only takes the tipping of the economy for outright anarchy and revolution to reveal its face throughout the bounds of America. And the white man is already telling you, dear brother, that his country is falling. He's every day talking about the decline of America. America is a skeleton today. It's hollow on the inside. Her manufacturing is dead in the water. She ships nothing of manufacturing overseas. She doesn't ship textiles. She doesn't ship fabrics. She doesn't ship foods. She's not shipping a damn thing. It is because the economy is offset so much here that she cannot afford to do it. She's in no position. Everybody, as Brother Hugh Rose has reported me today, everybody's in China. China's shipping everything, everywhere, flooding the market. God damn it, I got me a Calvin Klein coat, a nice coat. God damn it, on the inside, made in China. God damn it, I wish I had an African store to go to and buy all these African clothes, I would buy them. Show me where it's at. That's another subject, but I'm just, the subject here that I'm talking about is that everything that the white man is making come from China. And goddamn Ralph Lauren, made in China, not no England. You over there, you calling on the phone here, you calling to get customer service for Sprint, you thinking you reaching somebody in Charlotte, North Carolina, you talking to India.
That's right.
You talking to somebody on the phone line in India that can man that call and run that service at a cheaper rate than what it costs in the United States. And so the American economy is suffering from a divine chastisement, and it is a key part of the fall of America. America wants to trick you, Brother Dennis, and others who are listening, to believing because she can kill Gaddafi and drop bombs that she still has some military might. She wants to trick the nations of the earth into believing she's still the superpower. All on CNN tonight, they're worried about China and China. And President Obama is in Australia to let them know that America is still a superpower, because the word over there, China the man over there. And she's tripling her military spending every day. And it's looking the white man in his cold blue eye and say, want some? Get some, cracker. Bad enough? Take some. You shoot some, you get some back. And he makes not one bullet shot against China. He don't fire as much as a pistol in that direction. He don't even light a firecracker unless his ass get fired on, like he did in Korea. Now that become the truth. Power become out of the barrel of a gun, that kind of gun. A nation that can match that thing. And so the world is changing, man. And America is like a dying dog, beating up on poor and defenseless children, like Libya, and beating up on people and sending drones into Yemen, killing people, drones into Pakistan, killing people, driving their own white family out of parks here in America, using their police to bully around. These are her last signs of her ego chest thrust before she passes out like a dying dog. A dying dog is the worst thing you can encounter, because before he die, he'll bite and kill anything. A wounded animal is dangerous. You go out there with a shotgun and shoot a bear, he will come and be killing everything before he passes his ass out. And her economy is a sign that the lifeblood of any nation is her economy. It is her number one worry. Tell me I'm lying. It is the number one campaign issue. Tell me I'm lying. Hell, if all of that killing everybody worked in American world supremacy and military dominance was the standard, Obama should win this thing hands down. He's killed everybody. He's killed Gaddafi. He killed Bin Laden. He killed, American citizen Anwar al-Awlaki. Violating even their own constitutional law, killing an American on foreign soil. So if all of that was and pulled the troops out of Iraq, has taken a butt whipping in Afghanistan, but that belongs to George Bush mainly. And so being dominant in the world and having the big stick, Teddy Roosevelt style, and being the big policeman, if that was the way for America to stay on top, she would be happy now. And Obama would be riding the top. But hell no, the American worker here is dissatisfied. America, cracking Iowa, is dissatisfied. South Dakota, they're mad. The economy is mad. And inside America, the whites are angry with the blacks. They're angry at a nigger, who they call a nigger who's the president, many whites. And they're angry at black people. They want to cut the budget. They say it's a shortage of money. And they say they need Negroes as having babies and taking Section 8 and taking Social Security from men. I don't need a nigger no more. I don't need a slave no more. So inside America, it's getting tense. It's getting wild. The economy is falling, and tight times are coming. Tight times are coming. That is the news from anybody. That's the news from the white man. That's the news from Farrakhan. That's the news from Malik Zulu Shabazz. That's the news from the new Black Panther Party. That's the news from the Bible and the Holy Quran. Every nation has a term. And when its term comes, the Quran teaches, none can remain behind in the least while, nor can they proceed it. Her time is up. And it ended in 1914, and a period of time remained for black people to be raised and to fulfill their end of the contract, as it is written in Genesis 15:13. So you're holding your own divine destiny up. Allah is not a liar. And no matter how powerful she looks, she's steadily grinding to a halt, as did ancient Rome. She was fighting barbarians in Asia Minor, fighting barbarians to the north in Europe, fighting the black man and the black woman in Egypt and Palestine and crushing indigenous people. I'm talking about ancient Rome. At the same time, her economy was collapsing and she was rotting from within. And she had all her troops spread out all over the earth, like America has her troops spread out all over the earth and her ships in every water. But soon, them barbarians and the so-called terrorists that America attacks today is like the barbarians that ancient Rome attacked. But soon thereafter, the Goths and the Visigoths and white savages, other white savages, the Roman was a white pedophile, Sandusky-style pedophile savage too. But the other savage in Europe, the Goths and the Visigoths, soon tromped through the streets of Rome and pissed on their statues and monuments and desecrated their stolen culture that originally came from Greece through Kemet. And Africa is a stolen legacy anyway, buddy. The bottom line to it is that she's going the way of ancient Rome. The parallels are right there before your eyes. This is not Malik Zulu Shabazz. This is the word of God that is written in the black history book, the Bible. She is a modern mystery Babylon. And it's coded as the ancient Babylon was, to have read the handwriting on the wall and refused the handwriting on the wall. And so we have to plot our own course. We don't know how long this will survive. We don't know whether it will be total anarchy, Brother Dennis. You don't know whether your local police department is going to have a budget. Let me get right to the point. They're only out there because they're getting paid. What's going to happen when the budget for the police department can't be paid and you can't get your check? They are goddamn mercenaries. They are not here to help secure the community. They're getting a check to arrest, handcuff, and break a nigga's neck. But when that check dry up, and that city budget crash, and they can't send them out on the streets, there will be anarchy on the streets. and we will have to defend ourselves. There will be no more police. That day is coming. I'm telling you right now, the day is coming when the police budget will dry up and the police department can't be funded. The day is going to dry up when the military budget is going to dry up and that aircraft carrier cannot go out on the ocean because it won't be no goddamn money for no diesel fuel. Huh? You can have all them damn weapons. You ain't got no money. They will rot in their holsters, rot in their silos. Our liberation shall come. Now, that is the word, and I believe that, and I will die on this belief. And the proof that what the white man and O'Reilly and all them are telling you in your face. So you need to, Brother Dennis, you need to, don't ask me. You go ask God and read that word again, and then you take your instructions directly from your Lord as to what your divine assignment might be. I take the next caller.
All right, Brother Dennis, we thank you so much for your call, sir. Every code 321-243, you're on the air with Black Power Radio and our national chairman. Give us your question, please, Black Power. All right. Every code 323-849, you're on the air with our national chairman, Black Power Radio. Please give us your question, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Slim Lincoln, Malik Abdali.
Black Power.
Yes, sir.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing? Brother, I'm over here just enjoying I'm over here just enjoying this program. Brother Cameron is really doing his thing. You know, it's nice hearing you, brother, on the program and stuff. I'm basically, you know, don't really have a question. It's just I'm enjoying this. I'm listening every now and then. We got to sit back and take a seat and listen, you know. So just to let you guys know in the movement, you know, in that LA New Black Panther Party movement in LA is doing swell. We're moving on, you know. It's a growing trend out here in California. With our movement and people so concerned with liberation and our youth, you know, is showing up their great interest also in the movement. And if Dr. Shabazz can speak a little bit on our youth down here in California, particularly in Los Angeles, your homeland. It's growing out here, brother, and we are, and our youth are reaching out, you know, and I see that every day. But I'm really on the listening in tonight. So,
all right.
Let's keep pushing that truth.
I'm loving it. And it is good. That's Brother Malik Al-Ghani. He is the Los Angeles chairman of the New Black Panther Party and an organizer in the Western region. He's a member of our central committee. And it just makes me want to say to anybody within the bounds of America or the world, if you like this teaching that I'm teaching tonight, and if you feel it is good for our people, and you like the message of the New Black Panther Party and the message of the United Front, then I would like you to please text or call 502-299-8530. 502-299-8530. Brother Malik, it's very important that we don't forget our obligation to teach the people and to bring good into the world. Yes, we must have programs. We must have action. But make no mistake about it, we must have teaching if we are ever to think about reaching our youth. And there's so much confusion and improper propaganda being taught to us over the airwaves. And even over the internet, so much damn confusion, it's hard to get clarity. We have a duty to teach. And so I'm looking and talking to those who are here now. We need you to teach. We need stronger teachers and stronger teaching and a consistent teaching and to build a program where we can get our education and our ministry across in the New Black Panther Party. And you all must, right now, don't forget our duties to study and listen to these broadcasts. We have to get the word out to the people. We have to educate our people. There's no doubt about that. And I think, Brother Malik, that if we can reach a generation, to reach the new generation, we have to teach. What bonded me to Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad, what bonded me to him was, frankly, his ideology. I met him when he was in the Nation of Islam. I watched the tapes as a college student. Even before I became active, I watched the tapes. And it was the ideology and it was the teaching that made me later on move into serious action. It was his teaching. It was my ability to question him. It was his thorough knowledge of a variety of doctrines. He knew Nation of Islam teaching, but more than that. He knew Message to the Black Man, Our Savior Has Arrived, Fall of America, but he knew much more than that. And so we have to study. It's one thing I've been doing when I have a time for some downtime. We have to study. We have to make ourselves well-learned. And we must teach the young people. They want to know about what it means to be black. They want to know our true history. They want to know. They heard bits and pieces of it in school. They heard bits and pieces here and there, maybe from their parents. And so I would say, Brother Malik, we have a great obligation now to teach the facts, teach the truth that will breathe life into our people. I take another question. And I want to say this for the next question. I will be teaching at the East Coast Black Farmers Symposium this Saturday at the Harriet Tubman School in Harlem, New York. Join me this Saturday. The event starts at 1 o'clock p.m. I speak at around 6. But all day, Dr. Leonard Jeffries will be there. From Chicago, the great Reverend Dr. Al Sampson will be there. Pam Africa will be there. James Dunn will be there, and the black farmers will be there. Yes, I'm here to tell you that I'm happy to report to you that even though we are somewhat behind schedule, I'm not a man of just rhetoric who spouts out promises and will not be bothered until they are delivered. And so we have teamed up. I have good news from the Ministry of Agriculture. We have teamed up with George Washington Carver Farms. We have teamed up with Sister Ya Asantewa and Brother Oba in New York. They have brought me in to speak. We have helped the New Black Panther Party and the United Front have put flyers out all over New York. They have a huge trailer, a 40-foot tractor trailer of farm goods coming from Carolina to Harlem, New York, this Saturday. Did you hear what I said? It's a 40-foot tractor-trailer truck. We have put money into this. And we got bags of food from black farmers of $35 bags that will be on sale all day, really all weekend, in Brooklyn Distribution Centers, here at Harriet Tubman. That's on 127th and Adam Clayton Powell, where I'll be speaking. But you also come and buy your black farmer food packets. They will be right there. If you believe in the land and black power, you should be breaking over traffic, just running across the damn street, almost about to get hit in New York, because this is an historic moment. We've teamed up with George Washington Carver Farms, teamed up with All in the World Ministry of Agriculture. We have teamed up, of course, I mentioned the New Black Panther Party, the Brooklyn Christian Center, the African Nationalist Pioneer Movement, and the United Front Ministry of Agriculture. Sister Charette has been working the post, and we're in the house on Saturday all weekend, really Friday. There's a special prayer breakfast, and all of the black farmers are in New York. I'm here to tell you that when we said that we would start the United Front Ministry of Agriculture, all of a sudden we started meeting a lot of other brothers and sisters who were working in agriculture coalitions. We have teamed up, and the coming out party is in New York. If you want to be a part of this and you want to be a part of a nation-building campaign that's really working, call area code 347-876-0123. 347-876-0123. or area code 347-876-0122. Call that number right now or email buyblackcampaign@yahoo.com. Buyblackcampaign@yahoo.com. All right, so that's where I'll be speaking this Saturday. Harriet Tubman, Luna Jeffries, if you're black, be there in New York. That's the United Front making its word bond. That's us giving our word on this broadcast that we would push this Black Farmers program and show results in making it bond. Before I take another question, I have to say that we're making our word bond on the Tuba Express and that we're about halfway through. I just got through cleaning everything out of all my closets. Good stuff. I got a whole room full of stuff myself. I got good news all over the country. It's stacking up, and we're about halfway through at about 3,000 pounds. We are going to go over the top. We may be behind the anticipated schedule, but what difference does it make when that big ship is pulling off? So if you want in on that, call Sister Ira. Help this black woman. Help us take up the weight. We're going to be driving for money real soon. We're going to need some money to get this truck, which we have the trucks lined up. Sister Michelle down there in Florida in the United Front and others that are offering trucks. All we got to do now is collect the items in the truck and put it in the storage unit in New York and prepare to ship it out of here. Because the brothers and sisters like Brother Latif in Houston and others down there, they have just taken it on independently. And independently, they have taken it on. And so I'm letting you know that the Ministry of Pan-Africanism, the Tuba Express, really now the Tuba Gambian Express, sending items mainly to Senegal and to Tuba and to our family in Senegal, but we don't give something to our allies in the Panther Party who to help the community in the Gambia as well. And we're going to make an African move. We better make as many alliances as possible in case we have to step up out of here. I had to give them pluggers, and I had to stop for a minute to let y'all know that everything with all of the teaching and the prophecy and the ideology and the clarity that we're given, we have to let you know that there is a program of nation building going on here that gets results. And in the next few weeks, we're going to tighten down hard and meet some deadlines and results and show you that black nationalism can work. See, I tell you in the beginning, I'm questioning to you whether it can work. And now we got to get into the details of making it work. And where most black people fall off is when it's time to get to work and get down to details. We love hollering and screaming and shouting and running around the church, or hollering and saying, yes, sir, or throwing up a fist saying black power, or speaking in any other kind of excited utterance, which is fine. But I want to see that same jumping and shouting when it comes time to doing work and being consistent. Let's go to the phone line. We on the move.
All right. Thank you, sir. Area code 757-405. You're on the air with our national chairman. Feeling good. We need your question, please. This is Black Power Radio, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. You got Queen Sheba. I just want to applaud and give a big up to my chairman because he's doing a black powerful job. And that's what I want to do. I want to applaud him. I want to give him his diamonds, his gold, his millions, everything that go with him, because he is very powerful. He got this group, the Black Panther Party, very powerful. He's doing it. Oh, I want to applaud him. That's who I'm going to applaud him.
Beautiful.
I'm going to give him his honor. That's who I'm going to give it to, his honor, because he's our leader. He's our father. He's our chief. He's our everything. He's our black power king. Our black power God. So I want to applaud our chairman.
My sister, you're making me smile, seriously. And that makes a black man feel good. Thank you so much for your support and for the compliment. And I would say I would hope to live up to that. And I'm honored to have your support. That makes you feel good, you know. I remember one time that our father, Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad, He had it was a tape he made at He came back to Mas 27 in Los Angeles, California, after being away for a few years. And he spoke and said sometimes how he used to drive by and not even go in because he was hurt, that he necessarily didn't feel appreciated for the foundation he had laid at that particular mosque. And he said, you know, it does. He said, you know, it does feel good for a thank you and for a brother or sister to let you know that they support you and they love you. You know, because oftentimes it's nothing else really in it. This is a hard road. As Khalid Muhammad said then, he said, hell yeah. He said, what you looking for, Minister Khalid, a pat on the back? He said, yeah. He said, ain't no money in it. At least a thank you would be nice.
Do that.
It's a rough road out here, so I thank you, sister. I will do the best that I can with the confidence that you have placed in me, and I'm looking forward to working with you into the future.
All right, Sister Sheba, thank you so much for your call. We'll take the next caller here, area code 412-801. You're on the air with our national chairman. This is Black Power Radio. Please present your question, Black Power.
Black Power, hi. I was just basically listening in, and I'm very impressed with the information. And I just want to give that brother a shout out and let him know that he has a lot of support out here. The issues that he has, you know, tackled, it's a hard road, and I've seen it, you know, being a part of the Nuwabian Nation. And this is something that has to be very tough. So I just want to let him know, you know, there's a lot of people out here that are listening, and the information that he's given is really good information, and push on, you know.
All right. Thank you very much. And I must also say, Wahubat, to my brothers and sisters in the Nuwabian Nation, and I know that it has been tough for the members of the Nuwabian Nation and all of the lodges and the houses and the organizations under Dr. Malachi Z. York, 33 degrees, 720. It's been very tough, known to many others as Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi in the time of my emergence in the movement, but known as Dr. Malachi York, who was locked up in Florence, Colorado penitentiary, locked up with so many others. It's terrible. We must, number one, never lose sight of our political prisoners. And we must never, that's another reason, my queen, for us to come together. If there's no other basis for organizing or uniting or working together amongst organizations that I've been speaking about tonight, certainly political prisoners is a common topic because every member, every group has some member or someone in their lineage that is behind bars. You know, there are many black Muslims. And even though they're not necessarily political prisoners, they are behind bars. And then you have Dr. York, who is, in my judgment, though all of the Nuwabians don't necessarily agree or say that he's a political prisoner, I say he's a political prisoner. Imam Jamil Al-Amin, most certainly, is a political prisoner. And then there's so many others, Mumia, Russell Schultz, all of our political prisoners from the Black Liberation Army. They deserve our support. The Nuwabian Nation must make its intentions known, in my judgment. I would say you are facing a time where you will have to ask yourselves whether the Nuwabian Nation will continue, or whether it will dissipate or disintegrate while the leader is behind bars. And certainly we expect Dr. York to be out. We expect him to be out. But in the absence of him being out, the question is asked throughout the black nation of what is the future of the Nuwabian Nation. Does he have an successor? And so that's not a subject that I'm going to go into tonight, but these are questions that we have to ask. This is living history. And we have to ask, will we be putting a book out years from now saying, remember, do you remember the Nuwabian Nation? Or will the new Ibian Nation live on? Will the new Black Panther Party live on? We control the destiny of it now. It's not automatic, though. Black organizations can be destroyed. And so we want the best for the new Ibian Nation and hope that you all will unite and hoping that you all will come together. And even if there's not one of you that is as strong as York himself or as knowledgeable as the master teacher, certainly in unity, because you all have shown that you can unite to help him. I think one of the strongest groups I've ever seen with a leader locked behind bars is the New Ibian Nation. The Black Nation needs the teaching that came, that were coming out of the New Ibian Nation. That was a good teaching on Tamaray and ancient Kemet. That was a good teaching. Most of those teachings were great. And we need culture and knowledge and education and books and writings. So may the Most High bless the New Ibian Nation to live on and to be strong. We take another call, my sister. We take another call, Black man. Thank you, sister, for calling.
All right. Area code 718-801. Thank you for holding. You're now on the air with our national chairman in Black Power Radio. Please give us your question, Black Power.
Peace, Black Power. Hope Chap and assalamu alaikum to all the brothers and sisters out there. This is Brother Shah out of Queens, New York.
Yes, sir.
And, first and foremost, peace, Brother Sean. Peace, Brother Malik.
Peace.
I enjoy your teachings and your show, brother. As you know, everybody gives you the props. It's well deserved. I got a hard question for you, brother.
Go right ahead.
You taught us many things tonight. I really appreciate it. But here in New York City and many of the inner cities throughout the U.S. right now, a lot of these young brothers and sisters are losing a lot of hope. There's a lot of gun violence, and I've been out here in the trenches trying to deal with that, and I would like your opinion on what message should I bring to them to try to alleviate a lot of this senseless violence that we're perpetuating on ourselves, brother.
Brother, I will say, to open my answer to that question, I will say that there is hope. There is hope, and despite many tragedies that you are observing and going through in the streets of New York with our youth and our babies and the senselessness of it, and what I see with my own eyes right here in Washington, D.C., and what many see outside of our own doors, I still will say from the top that there is hope. The fact of the matter is, I back up the statement that there is hope by telling you that even though there are all too many senseless murders, crimes, armed robberies, sexual assaults, and other crimes that take place within the Black Nation of that which we call black-on-black crime, actually the numbers are down. The numbers of murders in the city of Los Angeles are down, really at a record low in several decades. The number of murders right here where I am in Washington, D.C., which was known as the murder capital, is set to be at an all-time low here in over 20 years. It's way too high. It's unacceptable. But I'm just letting you know that even the killing fields and the biological warfare of crack and other agents that were introduced into our community, guns and all of that was poured into the community, that to a certain degree it has run its course. And so the teaching is true that the Black man cannot destroy himself, that the tribe of Shabazz is that which cannot be destroyed. You know, they say the tribe of Shabazz is indestructible, that we cannot even destroy ourselves, that the God tribe cannot destroy itself, even though it looked like it's on a path headed straight for self-destruction. We are so strong as a people that even chemical warfare, guns, white supremacy, oppression, police brutality, slavery, suffering, and death still have not killed off the Black man and the Black woman. We still produce babies like the drop of a hat under the most stressful conditions a Black man and Black woman can keep reproducing.
Yes,
and
sir,
so
yes,
I say this, my dear brother. This violence is terrible, man. I mean, just even some of us, you know, just robbed, almost robbed at gunpoint. Somebody even in the organization, robbed by brothers out here on the street, who I won't name, the member of the organization, but it has even affected our own house. Where a member, a leading member of the new Black Panther Party can be stuck up out here by black youths and robbery and have no respect still. So I can't tell you that the problem is over when you're seeing mothers, as you say, getting shot and killed protecting their babies in the projects. And so when it comes to a final solution, my dear brother, on the violence problem, I'm going to say you have to be patient, number one. You're going to have to be patient, and it is going to take some serious work in terms of coalition building and grassroots work to get a handle on this violence problem. It's not going to just take a rally saying stop the violence. Though we appreciate that, we must get the message out. But you are not going to attack a system that is based on social decadence, deep-rooted societal problems, deep-rooted economic problems, sociological problems, psychological problems, even psychiatric problems, family trauma, molestation, abandonment, absence of a father, drugs, alcoholism. See, all of this is what's in the social mess called the ghetto that manifests when Taekwon went out there and put a cap in the next young brother. Or some just silly stuff. Man, I just come out of jail earlier today visiting a client. Here's a young man, 20 years old, who I will name nameless due to confidentiality, but facing the most, taking the valuable, most valuable years off his life for nothing. Not even $20. Silly, silly stuff, if you know what I'm saying. Tempted to use another word. It hurt my heart to look out and just see a sea of black men in orange jumpsuits in the prime of their lives. And most of it, brother, was about nothing. It wasn't even for killing nobody. Just dumb stuff. Getting caught with this or caught with that.
Yes, sir.
And so, brother, I will tell you that you're going to have what's patience. The root of the word patience is the word pati, which in the etymological root means pain. And you have to have the character to absorb the pain of witnessing what you witness until we can do what we're doing right here, is to slowly but steadily but surely build a coalition, slowly but steadily but surely begin to have a stronger working relations with all of those that can help solve this deep-rooted problem. It can be greatly helped by the new Black Panther Party. The new Black Panther Party can be a great help in it. But you will have to, when you're talking about the question of violence, when you're talking about youth, their jobs, their unemployment, their education, you have to approach it from a holistic perspective. If it's a holistic problem that led to that violence and that killing and that and that's going on in the streets, it's holistic problems, it's all-around problems. So in order to even get a handle on organizing it, you're going to have to be able to approach it from a holistic perspective. What do I mean? I mean, you're going to have to get to know some of the social workers in the black community in New York. I mean, you're going to have to get to know some of the agencies that are serving black youth, some of them housing juveniles, and they work with juveniles. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
There are certain people that work in the juvenile system. Everybody in the every black person that work or connected to the juvenile system in New York is not an Uncle Tom. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You know, there are brothers and sisters that love our people, that are doing good amongst our youth. There are counselors. There are mentors. There are people that we don't necessarily call black nationalists. And they're not out there with their fist up and with a red, black, and green on their lapel, but there are people that you can work with that are working on this problem also. And as we start to work together in unity, then these youth, you will start to see a greater output rate, a greater result rate. And I'm telling you this, brother, from experience. I'm not telling you a theory here. I can show you black youths that I have helped convert from robbers and murderers and victims of a whole bunch of bad situations and show you how I have helped put them into college. I can show you a file on that, you know, from me and what I know and what my experiences is. I can tell you about this youth problem. And so, you know, we will have a talk when I come to New York.
Yes, sir.
Because there are things that can be done. And there are ways to even strengthen your own position in it. You know, most of us don't know how to serve our own communities. You know, most of us don't see that the people and that there are certain services that are being provided that come from the political representation in the black community, but the conscious black man or black woman that's on this phone line most of the time don't have enough knowledge or equipped to take advantage of resources that are being taken from us and given back to us through what is called the city council budget. You know, I mean, they tax your sales tax, tax your paycheck, federal tax and state tax, tax your sales tax, 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 all of it is taken from us. We have maybe one elected official named Charles Barron that know how to get it and give it back. Other than that, what we call the social services in the black nation are the funds that are used to help those in need or at risk, like youth and that are doing the killing, to help deal with the youth and deal with the at-risk population. Most of the time, people who are conscious on this phone line ain't got no kind of way to even deal with that. We don't know how to set up a nonprofit corporation. We don't have an office. We don't have a phone line. We may be running black nationalism off our telephone or laptop computer. That's about it. And so, my dear brother, what I'm saying is that there are solutions. Just on the youth question, which to me is a family question, it's a social question, there are ways that I can advise you and help you to strengthen your position, to strengthen the party's position and foundation in the community so that you will have greater resources to be able to affect black youth. And you can go far in that. You can build a career on helping black youth, because there are so many that need to be helped. So we'll talk further, black man, but those are my thoughts. There is hope, but we're going to have to go to a higher level. We're going to have to get real and build some institutions or take control of some institutions. There are institutions in the black community now that are dedicated to rehabilitating our senior citizens. They're dedicated to rehabilitating, in some instances, ex-felons, dedicated to rehabilitating youth and other needy populations that are black in our community, but they are white-controlled. And if you say you're a black nationalist, or you say in the 10-point program of the Black Panther Party that we want Ujamaa, or we want cooperative community housing, or we want, then how you gonna do it? You can't just sit out here. We ain't going to sit out here for the next 10 years and be talking about we want housing. We want housing. You sound like a goddamn robot. We want housing. You better goddamn get it. Pardon my language. I know it's getting late on the broadcast, so I'm slipping. I'm sorry. But I'm speaking in that way really to let you know the urgency of the time, sisters and brothers. The time is out for rhetoric. The time is out for rhetoric. We must put the teaching into practice. We must have control, my dear brother, of the social institutions in the black community that are providing social services. So to that extent, I agree with Charles Barron. Revolutionaries, some revolutionaries need to go ahead and run for office. for right now, for, as Khalid Muhammad said, for temporary short-term gains, just to gain control of some of our tax dollars that are stolen from us, and to try to steer it back in the community to righteous brothers and sisters who can take care of the business. The Newark Anti-Violence Coalition, after all of them months, damn near years, and week after week of demonstrations, they should be controlling damn near all of the funds in northern New Jersey to help black youth. And any politician that bucked them, they should be crushing. Any politician that opposed them or tampered with their funds would meet the wrath of God with the work that this group have put in. And so we're missing in the translation in some of these cities. You got brothers and sisters that they're good and rallying in the streets, but right now, Brother Francois, you need a group of youth that you can personally work on transforming their lives every day. You know what I mean? You need a caseload, my dear brother. You can be a revolutionary case manager.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? And go around and talk to some of all of them behind bars and lockdown, and you can get a salary for it, and you can drop the teachings on them on the side note. We'll talk. I'm going to take another question before I get off.
Okay, yes, sir. This will be the final call here. Area code, you're 212-470. You're on the air with our national chairman. This is Black Power Radio. Your question, please. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. This is Yael Kepler, Colorado, New York City. How you doing, Brother Chairman?
I'm doing fine, Brother Kepler. Yes, sir. Good to talk to you, comrade.
Yes, indeed. Much of what I was going to ask, you have addressed, especially with our youth in the community. And especially another thing that I heard a brother mention before about these sellouts and Uncle Tom's. And Dr. Amos Wilson said specifically that those in our community who are predators in our community are agents of white supremacy. And the French side that spoke about the hopelessness that we have in our community. But one thing you mentioned I wanted to address specifically was the confusion that spread about via the internet and whatnot, with a lot of folks who are very well read, so to say, and are spouting a lot of different doctrine and debating this one and saying that they're king of this and
come on with the question.
It's
about 3 minutes. How many minutes do we have left? This is an awesome question, but how many minutes do we have left, Brother Sean?
Yes, sir. We got right about 2 minutes and 50 seconds on air.
Answer the question, Black, so I can get it on the air.
The question basically is, how do we sift through that confusion about with folks who appear to be for us in a similar light, but are very different in their intentions and what they're actually espousing?
Okay, what I want to say is this. We just can't get too caught up into Facebook being the primary definition of what's happening in the struggle. I don't see, unless, you know, I don't pay a lot of attention to people's Facebook pages unless they're organizing. You know, people that are just spouting ideology, and some of it's nice, and certainly we need information. Some people are giving up good information. But it's far more confusion and mess and drama and things that are misleading than positive information that's going on the social networking. And so I don't think we can get, I'm advising those that are with us not to get too caught up into any of it unless it's somebody that's organizing. The pages I go to on Facebook until we get Black Book, which is what we need. But the pages that I go to and the people I pay attention to are probably the brothers and sisters that's on this phone line, you know, and people that are struggling and organizing. You know, I'm going to see what Dr. Millionaire is talking about. I'm going to see what Sean Quali is talking about. You know, I'm going to see who's organizing and how they're organizing and what is they and what they're doing. That's who I pay attention to. I don't pay attention to these other black sex gods and just all these weird Jimi Hendrix type characters out here. I mean, it's just, I just don't have a lot of time for that stuff, you know. And so, brother, I say to everybody, don't pay too much attention to the weird stuff. I follow King Samir's page. I follow the Philly Panther page, the Newark Black Panther page. I follow the United Front Ministries. I want to hear what Ayers got to say. I follow the progressive ones in the Nation of Islam, Nuri Muhammad, and the active ministers. I pay attention to people that have a program of action and are doing something. Those people that are just making YouTube videos and, you know, just that's just like childish things to me. And when I, you know, I put away childish things when I became a man. I think we're off the radio, but we can talk a little bit more off the radio. I guess.
Yes, sir.
For a little while longer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You ready to take some more?
Let me cap on that. What I want to say, Brother Kepfer, and I do want to meet you at the Harriet Tubman School, if we can talk afterwards or before. I want to say, Brother Kepfer, that it is our duty to set the standard of what should be talked about, you know. And so the more that you and I and us and the forces that you're working and organizing with, and the more that you and Brother Francois, Shah, and you all come together, all of us who believe in these teachings on this phone line, the more that we manifest that we are moving together in a united front and that we have a program of action, we as a unit will become the standard for the social network. Can you see what I mean?
Right now,
there are different standards. You know, and to a great degree, the new Black Panther Party has changed the black conscious Facebook game. And we could really change it further when we get all the way off Facebook. But I'm saying for right now, a lot of way more confusion was going on before we started addressing our presence on the social network. It's just anybody saying anything, doing anything in the name of the red, black, and green. Just anybody defining black nationalism. Nobody with a plan of action. A whole lot of YouTube videos and black groups fighting, killing, and attacking each other on the internet on a daily basis. Now, that still goes on to a degree, but to a greater degree, the efforts that the new Black Panther Party have and the popularity of our leadership and the code of conduct that we have established online to a great degree has refocused a lot in the movement, and it has helped, you know? And I have played my part in that. And so we have been able to put down some confusion. We don't waste a lot of time attacking other groups. We believe, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, that you just hold up the clean glass and the dirty glass will expose itself. We don't have to go around and try to nitpick or attack other black groups because we believe in unity. This is the example we've been setting. We believe in finding what we finding and uniting around and being positive about what we have in common rather than our differences.
Absolutely.
So we just keep working together, set the good example, show what unity is really about, and Jimi Hendrix and the boys will get less attention than us because we will be showing the people the way to go, you know, and the black people really bottom line to it, even though they feed out of the slop trough of gossip and confusion, really they're suffering and they want a way out.
Understood, brother.
So I'll see you Saturday, brother. We got a big day Saturday, and I'm looking forward to a new New York.
Absolutely.
New York,
absolutely.
So we can build. I really want to talk with you all about building a strong black power movement in New York and doing all I can to support it, and really finally now seeing the black nationalist, New Black Panther Party, and the just the black movement in general gets the help that it deserves and come to prominence. New York is ripe for a major resurgence in the black nationalist movement. New York, if properly organized, can inspire the whole black nation. And this black farming program at Harriet Tubman, with these tons of, I mean, with this 40-foot trailer of food and vegetables and supplies, and they got chickens and everything coming from the black farm coming to New York. I mean, when you buy the packet, this guy, you can buy a vegetarian or you can buy it with the meat in it. But I'm telling you this, this is a sign this Saturday that black nationalism can work in New York. And if we can get together and show that black power, black nationalism, pan-Africanism is a workable model in New York, which we have a good chance at, it could mean something very good for the future of our people. Good things come out of New York. Louis Farrakhan comes out of New York. Malcolm X comes up out of New York. Marcus Garvey reached his heyday in New York. Okay, so I'll be there Saturday, and I'm looking for New York, Queens, Brooklyn, Bronx, those all over the city who don't want bickering, who don't want infighting, who want to get together and build for some black power. I'm anxious to be on that team. I take another call.
All right, Carla, thank you so much. We're going down to area code 203-685. You're on the air with the national. We lost that call. That call moved. Okay, let's go to this call. Area code 432-260. You're on the air with our national chairman of Black Power. Ready your question, please. Black Power. 432-260. Your mic's open. You got a question?
All right. Well, let's
do
this, brother. We don't have to belabor it. We need to get back to work. And I want to come back on Monday.
That's just
you got another call for me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, sister.
I'll take one more call, and then I'll just be back on Monday, and we're going to push this program. But I'll take this call. Last call.
Yes, sir. Sister Aya.
Hey, peace, John. I didn't realize my mic was open. I was just really sitting here enjoying the program and enjoying the show because the chairman is just teaching real hard tonight on some lessons that we all need to learn and take heed of. Those that
right.
are old and new, you know, an organization in and out. And, I mean, I just want to give them a black hand tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Queen. It's good to hear your voice and good
yes,
to get
sir.
Some support from you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's an honor to hear your voice. For those who are listening, this is Sister Ayera, who is managing the Ministry of Pan-Africanism and doing a great job. But tell us, Sister, as we leave, and as we will be talking further, tell those that are listening what you need right now so that you may be, that we may help you be more successful.
Actually, what we need is still, the support. We still need donations, volunteers in each city. We can never have enough volunteers, donations, monetary donations, radio airtime so we can get the information out. I'm going to get with you. I was supposed to get with you tonight, but I'm probably sending you information tomorrow for the program I was telling you about earlier today, but just donations and word of mouth support.
Okay.
That's all we need.
Okay. Give them the phone number that you want them to call.
405-294-2283. Again, that's 405-294-2283.
Okay, Queen. I'll be moving at a faster pace now. It's time that we wrap it up. You know, it's a lot of clothes here, so you can expect to hear from me this weekend. I'm just going to be moving at a faster pace.
Black Power, I'll be waiting
project.
On you, champ.
I'm looking forward to working with you. Seriously, looking forward to working with you for the rest of this year and in 2012.
Black Power.
All right, Black Power. Brother Sean?
Yes, sir, that wraps it up.
Thank you for manning the lines, dear brother, and
you're welcome, sir.
You'll be hearing from me soon. We got to get that newspaper out. I'm going to be getting a letter out this week, kind of letting everybody know, I guess, what's expected so we can get busy. Great job.
Thank you, sir.
And we
Thank
talk
you,
soon,
sir.
Okay? As a matter of fact, let's hang up and call me back on some matters. You know what we need to talk about.
Yes,
call me
sir.
Back.
Right
Thank
away.
You, brothers and sisters in the audience. Black Power.
Black Power. Brothers and sisters, of course, that's our national chairman, and we thank you for listening to us on Black Power Radio. If you enjoy the words that we talked about tonight, the topics we touched tonight, the feeling we gave, and the program that we presented from the new Black Panther Party, we ask that you support our mission, you know, with your lives, your person, your wealth, your time, your talent, your effort. Give yourself to the cause of black liberation, and of course, you're our national chairman. Give you the number and the email. The number to text is 502-299-8530. Again, that's 502-299-8530. Text only number. And our email is nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. One more time for you, nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. To stand up and be a strong, bold black man, the spirit of our black power, General the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. So make sure that you join us again. For our next broadcast, of course, we got the Queen's Night coming up on this Friday at 8 o'clock, and we're always hitting you with more and more from Black Power Radio. Until next time, the call is Black Power for black people, freedom of death, and if black people are not free, nobody's free. Black Power.
Malcolm Garvey, here we study. Malcolm Garvey, here we. Their life was like a movie study. Malcolm Garvey, here we. Malcolm Garvey, here we. Malcolm Garvey, here we. Their life was like a movie. I organize everything I do's revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these, really think you should. I study Malcolm Garvey, here we. Malcolm Garvey, here we. Martin.